Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talk 29, the best in talk.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Tom B. Stone's Don't Get Me Started. Quite a bit to unpack today, but I first invite you to call in and join the fracas and the conversation at 563-999-3754. Once again, 563-999-3754. You can also feel free to join me in the chat room where I will address questions, comments, and opinions there as well. I did have a whole show planned out for today. But when I was handed this news I'm about to disclose to all of you, not only was I disgusted, I was also inclined as an American to toss that show right out the window. And I'm just going to shoot from the hip today, because not only am I outraged, I'm sad that the legal system under this current administration has failed the United States as a whole, but also the victims of the terrorist attacks that plagued this country and nearly succeeded in dropping us to our very knees in complete surrender. And for those of you who were not with us at this time, the very sad day in America, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, four aircrafts were hijacked by terrorists that were recruited by extremists to fly them into specific targets in the United States. Those targets were the Twin Towers in Manhattan, the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and the White House in the heart of Washington, D.C. While three out of the four targets were hit, the brave men and women who were aware of their inevitable demise stormed the cockpit of United Flight 93 in their last fight with the hijackers, causing the aircraft to go off course, thus crashing into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Now, the events of this morning of September 11th left the death toll of 2,977 people. The events masterminded by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, I really don't give a fuck. With the blessing of and the financial backing of Osama bin Laden, which in turn sparked the Iraq-Afghanistan war, lasting approximately 20 years. The number of United States troops who have died in fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan has passed, as of the end of 2019, 7,000. Approximately 177,000 national military and police from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraqi, and Syria allies have died as well. Western allies have also come at high human costs. And they died in a host of ways. This also includes the broadcasted beheading of an American journalist, Daniel Pearl, in 2002, and another American journalist, Daniel Foley, who was being forced to read a statement written by his captors denouncing the United States before he met his same demise in 2014. The public and broadcast beheading of two American journalists. And a lot of has happened since then, and there's a memorial every year to speak the names of those who perished in the 9/11 attacks. I actually remember exactly where I was that day. I actually was working a late shift at my job at that time. I got off work at approximately midnight, went home, and flipped on the TV. It was probably around 12:30 in the morning, and I started watching a documentary on when the Twin Towers were built. Fell asleep, and I woke up in the morning with somebody talking about the Twin Towers in the background. I thought that I was listening to the same show that I fell asleep to, and it turned out I was wrong. It was a news station, should I say every news station, that popped on and was announcing to America that a plane hit the North Tower. They were writing it off as maybe an accident or a plane went off course, something to that effect. And I watched on live TV as well as million others across the United States. Watched the second plane hit the next tower. We were all, as Americans and as people who love our country, were just in complete shock. Which is why this pains me to even talk about what has transpired currently. And I'll try to get through it. Forgive me. Here's some cracking in my voice. Late last week, the families of the victims of 9/11, 2001, received notification from the U.S. government informing them that plea deals for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others are being considered in order to prevent a public trial and remove the possibility of the death penalty. Now, for those of you who didn't hear me correctly, before scumbags that murdered 3,000 people who are currently making their homes in Guantanamo Bay are in talks with the U.S. government for plea deals that would prevent a public trial and remove the possibility of the death penalty. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to put them in our jails so our tax dollars not only go to pay for a 20-year war, but going to go give these scumbags a privilege to put in our prisons, that we can continue paying for it, and not put them to death? Fantastic. Absolutely the most outrageous act by the U.S. government at, by far in my lifetime. And you know what? It's, quite frankly, it's also beyond disgusting. As an American and as a human being with a soul, I really have no idea how anyone on the left or in this current administration or the liberal news media thinks this is appropriate or necessary and should be ashamed of themselves. Moreover, what pisses me off even more, I don't know how anyone can say with a straight face that January 6, 2021, the so-called insurrection that, according to the left, threatened U.S. democracy was worse than September 11th, 2001. I don't know how you even get away with saying it on national television. I can debunk that in several ways, but I'll just echo the most obvious. One person won on January 6th, 2021. That would be Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed veteran of the U.S. military, shot point blank in the chest in front of her fiancé by a trigger-happy Capitol Police officer, later deemed, surprise, surprise, later deemed a hero by Nancy Pelosi. September 11th, 2001, 2,977 Americans were killed, viciously murdered, some forcing to jump to their deaths. The fiery wreckage of the 103rd floor of the South Tower, because they had no choice. And almost 200,000 more in the following 20 years. By the way, that war in Afghanistan ended very embarrassingly. So in what way, I'd like to know, in what way was January 6th worse than 9/11? Or which, in what way was it worse than Pearl Harbor? Kamala! Oh, wait. In what way was it worse? Fact of the matter is, folks, that this is a very serious time in the United States. And with the anniversary of 9/11 coming up in a couple of weeks, this is to somehow score brownie points for the current, in their own pee breaks. Somehow this is meant to score some brownie points with, you know, the Trump haters, to close Guantanamo Bay and spare these men the death penalty after they perpetrated the killing of 3,000 people. And by the way, I should inform you that these were not the only targets on the list. There was a very prominent target in L.A. That was deemed too difficult to go after. There was another target that was in Chicago, also deemed too difficult to go after. They stuck with the four targets in mind. To the two Twin Towers, the White House, and the Pentagon. Now, what I saw in following weeks of this catastrophe, I didn't see riots. I didn't see violence. I didn't see the news broadcasting things about, you know, about what race, you know, perpetrated this, and this is racist and racism that and racist. No, it never occurred that once. Maybe a smattering of things were happening at that time. It's very, very rare. What I saw in the following weeks, that America came together. They very well could have divided, could have made this situation a lot worse. America came together. I saw people hang flags outside their house. They didn't already have one. They had American flag stickers on their car. The some of the store owners were, smaller shop owners were giving away some free free American flags and free stickers and a lot of the stuff to people say, you know, support, you know, support America, and just holding up very high support for the United States, the current administration that was holding office at that time, which was the Bush administration. Don't even get me started on that, moron. And the fact of the matter is that this could have been, the American people could have revolted in a way that could have made the situation more catastrophic, but they didn't. They came together and it was heartwarming. It restored my faith in humanity. And it was just an amazing, it was just an amazing thing to see. Now, when I said the war in Afghanistan ended quite embarrassingly, I'll tell you what I mean by that. On August 26, 2021, General Milley was given the order by our commander-in-chief to withdraw out of Afghanistan. And there was thousands of Afghani civilians, and as our plane was taking off with our soldiers on it, haphazardly taking off out of Afghanistan, as ISIS was taking over Kabul Airport, they were our soldiers were safe and sound on this aircraft, as thousands of people who have fought alongside of us the last 20 years were running after the plane, jumping on the wheel well, hanging on to the wings. And as the plane was taking off, they could no longer hang on and plummeted to their deaths. CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the liberal nut job networks were foaming at the mouth because they could not wait to blame Donald fucking Trump. It's Donald Trump's fault. What followed was even more sad. Now, a suicide bomber got through a security clearance at Kabul Airport and killed 13 of our soldiers. And during the dignified transfer ceremony, where Joe Biden was too busy staring at his watch, and probably shitting his pants, being self-involved, Mr. Captain Empathy Biden, to even learn the stories of the individuals who risked their lives over the great many years, men and women, to protect our freedoms. Even take the time to learn the stories of these of the brave soldiers. Instead, he chose to compare the loss to that of his son, Bo, who died of brain cancer in 2014. Here's the president who went to meet with a man who lost both his legs and his arms, had prosthetics in the bombing. He managed to survive, God bless him. Here's a man who is so brain dead that he went to shake the man's hand. And the soldier looked at him and said, "I don't have a hand and I can't move." And Joe Biden stared at him blankly and said, "Oh," and then started to talk about his son, Bo, and how much he knew about, you know, losing people and this triggered the outrage of the families of the victims of the suicide bomber. Here's the difference, Joe. When your son, Bo, died of brain cancer, you got to hold his hand. You got to be by his side as he took his last breath. These soldiers were also viciously murdered in an act that could have been avoided, and quite frankly would have been avoided, still been in charge. Because during those 4 years, whether you like them or hate them, our enemies feared us, including the ones in Afghanistan. And they were told in 2018, if one more American soldier, or any soldier, dies, there's going to be a problem. And he meant business. And the ones in charge knew that Trump meant business. And in 4 years, they didn't do shit. ISIS was wiped off the face of the earth. They didn't hear anything about them. No new wars. None. A booming economy. Closed borders. Unemployment at an all-time low. Why is this man so terrible? You can't tell me why. You can't tell me one racist thing he said. But I can go on and on about all the things that Joe Biden said, Captain Empathy, that were absolutely racist. If you have trouble deciding whether you're for me or Trump, tell the black man that on a national radio program. Now, that's not racist, because Trump didn't say it. Biden said it. And nothing? Nobody called him on it? Now, since the names of the murdered soldiers by the suicide bomber at Kabul Airport haven't been honored since the 26th of August 2021, it is with great honor and gratitude for their bravery and valor that I read the ones of those that we lost in order to hopefully restore some modicum of dignity. Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole G., Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover, Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Mouse, Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCullough, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem McCauley, Marine Corps Corporal Dagan William Tyler Page, Marine Corps Corporal Humberto Sanchez, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, and Navy Hospital Corpsman Max Sobiak. For their honor, their valor, and great sacrifice to fight and defend the freedoms we have today. On behalf of my family, thank you. God bless the families of all of our brave fallen heroes of the U.S. military. God bless America. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.